In recent years, we've seen a lot of changes in our lakes and streams, and seems like for the most part, folks have been a lot better. But one lake that comes to mind that's really changed a lot is Lake Okeechobee. So I went to my good buddy Scott Martin, and I said, Scott, tell me about how this lake has changed. And what'd you tell me, Scott?
I'll tell you what, it changes every year 180 degrees, but it's still great fishing down here. We're catching lots of fish, but I tell you, it's a changing lake every year. It's a fun lake to fish because, you know what, you're not going back to the same rock piles year after year. You're not going back to the same docks. You're not going back to the same grass beds. It's different every year, so it keeps you on your toes.
Well, the hurricanes, of course, brought in a lot of wind and a lot of water, and then also a lack of water at certain parts of the lake, which changed the vegetation quite a bit, too.
It does. A very natural lake. It's a very flat and shallow lake. And what happens is when you get a hurricane or any high winds down here, the water moves around on this lake so much that it will actually uproot the grass and push sediment around in different places. It's a lot like a controlled burn. You know, the forestry department goes into forests around the country, and they burn certain sections of forest to make it healthy again, to kind of get new grass to grow for the animals and the wildlife. It's the exact same thing that a drought does on this lake. And then we love droughts on Lake Okeechobee. It is a little hard to get around, but it does wonders for the lake. It allows that bottom to get exposed. It allows that shallow, muddy bottom to get exposed, and it turns that bottom back into a hard, you know, there's sand underneath that mud, and it burns that mud off, and that sand is exposed, and the seeds from all the grass and the hydrilla and the pepper grass, all that germinates very healthy. And when that water comes back up here, when we get our rainy season here in a few months, that water will come back in. It's like cleaning your fish tank, you know? It's like taking your filter out of your fish tank and cleaning it out. You've got a really healthy system after that. And that's what Lake Okeechobee is going through. The fishing's great, and we're just in that cleanup stage, which happens about once every 5 to 7 years.
Well, I'm going to switch gears with you a little bit. It wasn't too long ago, a month or so ago, you also got to fish it in a tournament and did very, very well there.
I did. You know, Lake Okeechobee, we kicked off the year down here for the FLW Series event, and man, it was an awesome tournament. It was a stressful tournament in the way that I really didn't catch them very good, Terry, the first couple days of the tournament, but that's what makes it fun. And I really like the FLW format, being able to fish 3 days. It allows you to kind of make adjustments and allow those good fishermen to rise to the top. So hopefully, you know, I feel like I made some good changes there and good adjustments throughout the tournament. The wind was awful, and I tell you what, the weather guys down here on the news, I'm going to have to give them a call because they're giving me a lot of grief because they didn't call for this wind that we ended up getting. It blew 25 to 35 miles an hour on day two, and it literally moved the water a couple feet on the north end of the lake down to the south end of the lake and rose the water up down there. But that does, Terry, that much water moves, it's just like a hurricane coming. It moves grass, it uproots the mud, and it really muddied the lake up and shut the bite down. You know, when you're fishing in Florida or any natural lake, for example, when water gets muddy, unnaturally muddy, those fish do not bite very well. So, you know, a lot of guys come down here to Florida that have fished up in river systems around the country, and those guys love muddy water. They look for muddy water. But when you come down here to Florida or any natural lake, even St. Clair up in Michigan, any of these natural shallow lakes that get muddy through rain or runoff or wind, and you're catching fish in an area, you need to probably abandon that area and go find some clean water. And that's what you have to do on this lake, and that's what I did in the tournament and was able to catch a couple days worth of good fish.
Well, I want to talk about good fish because I think it's very important that folks know that, you know, you're the son of Roland Martin, of course, and when you hear that, you know, 9-time angler of the year and some of those kind of things, but your own credentials have been phenomenal, and lately top 20 finishes, you're just falling in there routinely. It doesn't have much to do with that anymore. It's more Scott right now.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, I've always tried to be my own person, and I've learned a lot from Dad over the years and grown up in the industry a lot, but you know, I've always wanted to go my own direction. I always wanted my own sponsors and do it my own way. Luckily, I've been on tour now for about 8 years, and I'm learning a lot about different patterns and techniques. And I haven't even hit my prime yet as far as knowledge goes. I'm still learning, but, you know, I'm getting better and being able to travel around on the FLW tour to these different lakes and fish against the caliber of fishermen we're doing and fishing against, you know, I'm able to learn a lot of different ways to catch fish. And I'm getting comfortable with it. You know, I've got a lot of good equipment right now, too, and that really helped to catch a lot of fish. You know, I went up to the Kistler Rods 3 or 4 years ago, and those things are so sensitive. And this isn't a sales pitch, Terry. These things, when you fish with good equipment, I don't care what brand you buy out there. If it's good stuff, you're going to catch more fish. And my sponsors, I'm lined up real well right now with some really good equipment out there. and it's allowing me to fish well and get fish in the boat.
Well, I'm gonna back up a little bit. You know, you talk about your sponsors, which I think is very, very important. You know, you've got to be comfortable with that product. The top 20 is kind of the pinnacle of where you should be when you're showing that consistency. You've had finish after finish here lately, and you're always in the top 20. And that, I mean, it's equipment one thing, but it's skill also.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, living here in Florida, I have the opportunity to set the hook a bunch. You know, we've got good weather down here. I wanted to stay pretty versatile in my fishing. I look at Denny Brower and all the accomplishments he's had. He's one of the best in the world. And he's known for jig fishing. You look at Kevin Van Dam, he's one of the best in the world, but he's a pretty versatile fisherman, even though everybody talks about spinnerbaits with him. But he's very versatile, and I want to be versatile. I don't want to fall into a category where I'm only a flipper, or I'm only a crankbaiter. I try to stay pretty versatile. I try to learn new techniques. And, you know, that over the last 4 or 5 years on tour, if you look back at my record, I'll either finish in the top 10, which I've had quite a few of them, I'll either finish in the top 10, or I'm pretty far back there. And the main reason for that is I've been experimenting the last 4 or 5 years, learning new ways to catch fish. You know, when guys talk about catching them on a drop shot, I get out there and I try to figure out the intricate details about a drop shot. Guys talk about deep cranking. I'm out there trying to figure out the intricate details about deep cranking. I try to learn, and, you know, growing up here in Florida, one of the only disadvantages living here on Lake Okeechobee is I don't get a place to practice those things. I can't throw a DD-22 out here on Lake Okeechobee. It's too shallow. I can't drop shot out here on Lake Okeechobee. It's too shallow. There's no creek channels. There's no docks. So a lot of these techniques that I've had to kind of, over the years, learn on tour, I'm getting more comfortable with and able to be successful with those techniques and becoming a better versatile fisherman.
You know, Scott, one thing I want to mention here, and this also is not a sales pitch, but for a lot of years, you know, everybody heard about Berkeley and Pure Fishing and Abu and all those companies that are involved with Pure Fishing in Berkeley. And what you found out was is that, you know, they were kind of a big company that maybe, you know, some anglers used their baits, but others didn't. Well, in recent years now with Gulp, the power baits, all those kind of things, they too have added, you know, dimensions of science and some of those kind of things. So not only do you have the best equipment, but you got the best baits, and now you're able to parlay all that knowledge and all that information into winning tournaments, and that's what you're really out there for.
You know, it is. You know, like you said, the companies have really started paying attention to the intricate details of what makes fish bite, whether it's scent or vibration or the action of a bait, and that's what Berkeley's done. I mean, they've got a whole crew of scientists. I've been to Spirit Lake. It's pretty amazing. I mean, it's like walking into a doctor's office. Everybody's walking around. I mean, those commercials aren't fake. Those guys are walking around in lab coats. They're figuring stuff out. They've got tanks full of bass. They're figuring out what makes them bite, what makes them not bite. So they're putting all that technology in their baits. And, again, it's helping me catch a lot more fish. The power bait stuff is incredible. The Gulp stuff, the sinking minnow, things like that. I mean, this is cutting-edge technology, and I'm able to tap into some of that, you know, being that those guys are my sponsor. And taking advantage of that, you know, let's talk about reels a little bit. Those guys have spent a lot of time researching that Revo. And I've used Shimano for a long time. I've used Daiwa for a long time. And I don't have a problem whatsoever saying that that's absolutely the best reel I've ever used for a couple reasons. The drag system on that Revo is incredible. I'm not losing fish. I'm not worried about a fish making a surge at the boat and breaking my line. And they cast very accurately, very smooth. And the best thing about that Revo is it's the perfect size, in my opinion. When you have a reel that fits just perfect in your hand, you're able to make more accurate casts. And you know as well as I do that fish are structure-oriented. So if I'm making a flip with a bait, I need to make sure that my flip, if I make 1,000 flips in a day with a jig, I need to make sure that all, if I get all 1,000 of those flips perfect right into the sweet spot, I'm going to catch a lot more fish than the average guy that's, you know, hitting his spot every other cast.
Well, I got to tell you too, Scott, I mean, you know, we were talking about a little bit about Berkeley and Pure Fishing, of course, but when I went to the Bassmaster Classic a couple of weeks ago now, I was out there walking around and looking at boats and doing the things we normally do. And a lot of guys who are not sponsored by Abu or Pure Fishing or whatever, they found the value in that reel as well. And they're using that reel, even if not sponsored by them.
That's because it's good. And that's the simple fact. I mean, they really hit a home run with that reel. We've sold a lot of them here at our shop. You know, we've sold every one that we get in. They go right back out the door. And they're the perfect size reel. That's important. And the reason the perfect size in your hand is important is because, again, it goes back to the accuracy. When you have more hand on top of that reel, and it's not a big bulky reel in your hand, you're able to flip and pitch and cast your bait very precisely into little corners and behind stumps and under docks a lot better than if you're fishing with a big bulky, you know, oversized reel. So these reels are perfect in size.
Well, Scott, I appreciate you being with us here at Bass Fan Radio, and best of luck at Teleco and FLW Series and FLW Tour, and it's going to be going by so quickly, and then it'll be championship time.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. Terry, thanks.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.